You're listening to The Record on KUOW.
We're feeling really presidential. I'm Marcy Silman. In the United States, presidents are not elected by our popular vote. They're elected by the number of electoral college votes they receive. For years, states have been working on legislation to change the system. It's called the National Popular Vote Bill. States pledged to revise how they use electoral college votes to elect a president once enough states get on board with it, that is.
Washington State signed on back in 2009. New York became the ninth state to join the movement earlier this month. They're trying to build momentum for a nationwide change. But the question is, do states even have the power to change how the president is elected? I put that question to Matt Barreto. He's a political science professor at the University of Washington. And he says this movement got started after the 2000 presidential election when George W. Bush beat Al Gore, even though Gore got the most popular votes.
One of the things that really got uncovered in 2000 in the Bush v. Gore election was, hey, wait a minute, we don't have a popular vote for president. And so the Electoral College suddenly came onto the scene in 2000, and people started questioning using this Electoral College instead of just a direct popular vote.
So I can imagine the Founding Fathers just rolling over in their collective graves about this. They really weren't in favor of this kind of a system of direct popular democracy. What would they think of moving to a system like this of direct elections?
Yeah, that's a funny question. We're so proud of our democracy here in the United States, but the Electoral College was actually set up as a way to prevent the people from directly electing the president. Regardless of what happens with the popular vote, the Founding Fathers set up the system where you would then nominate electors, and the electors would be nominated by the state legislature, and then they would go to Washington, D.C. and cast the vote. So there's all these levels removed from the direct vote of the individual voter in the United States. And so it's a significant departure from what the Founding Fathers had set up. And it's funny because we're so proud of our democracy, yet when it comes to electing the president, we have a system which purposely distances the voters from being able to directly elect the president.
So back up for a minute. So how does it work? Explain exactly what the proposal is.
So the proposal is right now each state gives all of their electoral college votes to whoever wins. So even if one candidate, as we found out in Florida, wins by just 100 votes, they get all of the state's electoral college votes, whether it is 3, 30, or 50. And so the National Popular Vote Bill is trying to change that and to say that let's just have a national election. And whoever wins the overall national popular vote, whichever candidate gets more votes, then every state would cast their votes in favor of that candidate. So even if you were in Texas and your state voted for the Republican, if the Democrat won, you would cast your votes for the Democrat, basically as a symbolic vote to say that we support the national popular vote.
So that means even if this state goes blue, as it often does, you're saying if the national popular vote was red Republican, our state would cast its 12 electoral college votes for the Republican candidate.
Right. That's the idea. And as you mentioned, Washington State has signed on to this. And so the state looks to the national popular vote and basically says whoever wins the national popular vote should be the president. Even if we disagree with that, that person won more votes. The idea for a state like Washington is that in the end, we would end up getting more attention because currently we get almost no attention because the presidential candidates don't come here. They know Washington is going to go blue in a presidential contest. However, there are a lot of voters here, especially in Seattle. The urban centers would get a lot of visits because the presidential candidates would need to come here and win votes, because now you're not trying to win Iowa or New Hampshire or Ohio. You're just trying to win more votes than the other candidate.
I don't understand. Why wouldn't this take a constitutional amendment? It seems like such a huge change.
Yeah, this would be a pretty significant change. You know, according to the National Popular Vote folks, the Constitution already allows each state to sort of decide how they're going to divvy up their electoral college vote. And there's one state, Nebraska, that actually already divvies them up by congressional district in a different fashion. So the states might have the authority to do this. The question is whether some states can do this and not all 50 plus DC. And so I think when you're talking about changing the entire national landscape of how this were to work, I'm not certain that this National Popular Vote Bill by itself is going to do something. Congress would have to pass some sort of act, or we might have to consider some sort of a constitutional amendment because the Electoral College is stipulated.
So even if you get 51% of the Electoral College votes of states that have the Electoral College votes, you still can't necessarily do this.
Right. The National Popular Vote Movement believes that as long as they can hit that 270 mark, that's the mark that you need, the number of Electoral College votes you would need to become president. That's over 50%. That if you can hit that mark, then you can control the electoral outcome. But it's not clear legally whether or not they can do that, whether or not, say, a handful of big states, if you got states like Texas and Florida and Ohio to sign on, they would probably come to that 270 mark. It may only be 15 states. And so they can't dictate what the other 35 states can or can't do with their electoral college votes. Each individual state gets to decide. That's very clear in the Constitution. So I think there would be a big legal debate. What it would do is it would raise a lot of attention to this issue. If you did have a majority or 51% of the electoral college votes saying, hey, we want to change, we want to move to a national popular vote.
Do you see this as even having the potential to get those 270 electoral college votes?
You know, they would have to do a lot of work in the big states because the smaller states don't like it. The smaller states like having the influence they have right now. Under the Electoral College, because it adds your House seats and your Senate seats, if you're a small state like Wyoming or South Dakota or North Dakota that only really has one or two congressional districts, suddenly you're doubling or tripling your influence by counting your two U.S. senators. And so for those small states, they have a over influence in the electoral college system.
Your vote counts more.
Your vote counts a lot more, in some places three times as much. And so I would be surprised if those small states were to sign on because it would decrease their influence. And I think if anyone brings a lawsuit, it's going to be some of those small states.
So what do you think is likely to happen?
Well, I think they're going to continue pushing. This has been an overtime effort. It's not something that just happened all this year. They're going to slowly chip away. They have a lot of support. And there are a lot of state legislators who like this idea, especially those ones in big states that want to see more presidential visits. They want to see more ads. If this were to pass, the candidates would have to be advertising in Seattle because that's a big market.
As I understand it, in 2000, the Bush versus Gore contested election, that was only the fourth time in history that this has ever happened, where the candidate who got the highest number of votes actually didn't take the office of president. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, typically, you know, the person who wins gets the most popular votes. But there have been those four instances in which the person who got less votes was actually elected. And so people would say that's significant, you know, out of 44 presidents that we've had. But the larger question is, could it happen again? And what would it take to happen? Because we've had a number of other close elections, even the 2004 and 2008 elections. If you just move a couple of votes around it in Ohio or Florida, you could have had this same scenario repeat. And that's what they're nervous about, is that if we have a democracy, why don't we just say whoever wins the national popular vote will become the president? But again, that would be a significant departure, not only from just the electoral college system. It would really diminish the influence of states in that system. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing, but it would be a huge change in the way things happen.
Matt Peretto, political science professor at the University of Washington, explaining the national popular vote bill that could change how we elect the president. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.